To Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
I'm here.
Excellent, excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
It's so much better in glorious 4K.
Woo! Oh, finally, you got it all, and you set it up.
Yes.
Excellent.
All right.
And did you move the other TV to your bedroom or your office or something?
The other TV replaced the cheap-ass TV that was in the bedroom. And that's a long story.
Gotcha. Fair enough. And we have a guest host from the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how's it going?
It's going well.
Excellent. We usually have two other co-hosts, Abe from Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and Chrissy, a Connecticut American, who both are unfortunately unable to join us. Abe had some technical issues, but Chrissy unfortunately had a passing. Her cat Poe just passed away this morning, 18 years old, almost just under. And for the past week, he hasn't been doing well, and we knew this was going to come. So
that's a bummer.
It does stink. I know, Barrett, you had this, unfortunately, about 2 weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Never easy.
Yeah, never easy. They are family. All right.
You never actually have to tell somebody to kill your family member.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, is that you have to make that decision.
Yeah, that part sucks.
That's where I have the hardest time.
Yeah.
Or I should say we don't have that issue in this country.
Yeah. Sometimes you want to kill family members, but you usually
but only at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now
hey, I can't see them anymore, so it doesn't really matter.
But anyway,
they live in Texas.
For new listeners of the podcast who aren't familiar with us, we are Dark Discussions Podcast, www.darkdiscussions.com. Basically, we critique and review genre films weekly, so horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, drive-in movies, cult films, and whatnot. So basically, we tried to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence, since it used to be overlooked, and now it has become critical darlings a lot of times, even the B-movies.
Have you noticed how many freaking horror podcasts are out there now?
Oh, it's crazy.
I mean, there were a few of them out there when we started, but now it's like you can't even turn around without finding a new one.
Oh, yeah. The market is saturated, and a lot of them are actually surviving, which is kind of interesting, because as we all know, there's been a lot of podcasts that we listen to, and then they just quit after 10 episodes because for whatever reason.
Well, you know, all it takes is the willingness to lose money and keep going.
And that is true. And that is something that's related to tonight's topic, because of generosity of some folks. And Eric, we do have a website. What can people find there?
Oh, they can find a bunch of stuff. Phil, on the right-hand side of the page, they can find links to friends of the podcast. You can go visit all them. At the top of the page, you can find a link to our articles section, where there are articles written by myself as well as other people. For your perusal, you can go to the audio section of the site, and there you will find every single episode of Dark Discussions that's ever been released, as well as any of the spinoff podcasts available to download for free. There's bound to be something that interests you there, so check that out. And on the front page, front and center, is a link to our Patreon account. Patreon allows you to financially contribute to your online artists. Producing this show is not free. We have to pay for things like movie rentals and equipment and server storage and web hosting and so on and so forth. So if you would like to help offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. For every $5 that you would care to contribute, on a monthly basis, you will have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis to do a show on. So if you're interested in doing that, we would greatly appreciate it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions, or you can follow the link on the front page of darkdiscussions.com.
That's right, that's right. And our email is darkdiscussions@aol.com, where you can email us and we will read your email on the podcast. You can also join the Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group. Just search for that on Facebook and we will add you there, where you can join in the discussion of genre film. Or you could actually even start your own topic, and a lot of folks are there and discussing things. Speaking of the Patreon is greatly appreciated. We would appreciate any help you can, but if you are not able to, that is fine, because we are here mostly for our own enjoyment and hope you enjoy us as well.
By the way, Phil.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. We haven't mentioned this in a while. If you don't have any extra money laying around, which we certainly understand, another way you can support the podcast without spending any money is to give us a review on whatever site you get our podcast from. So Apple Podcasts or Overcast or Podbean or however you listen to our show. If you could give us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. That's what you can do for us if you can't afford to donate any money.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that would be greatly appreciated for reviews, because the more reviews we get, good or bad, gives us more notice by our servers and our players, whatever they call those places, where you get your podcasts. For example, Stitcher at one time promoted us for 2 weeks as we did our Robin Williams tribute episodes. We were on their front page for 2 weeks, and that was helpful. And our Game of Thrones podcast as well was promoted big time over there. And the more reviews, the more notice, and that helps us. So, yes, excellent point, Eric. Thank you for bringing that up.
People can't know just how bad we are if they don't actually listen. So please help spread the word.
Indeed, indeed. Yes, yes. And that's the thing, too, is if you don't enjoy the podcast, that doesn't mean that a podcast is bad. It may just mean that one episode you did not enjoy. So always check a podcast out a couple of times before you decide that it's not for you. But that's just...
And Lord knows we've had some odd episodes.
What was the one where Phil was drinking absinthe?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, right. That's a doozy.
Which is now on Shudder, I believe.
It's available on Shudder. How about that? Yeah, yeah, I think
was
you're right.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yep, it's a good movie.
Is that because you were drinking absinthe?
I barely even remember the
remember
movie.
Well,
I just remember the episode.
Yeah.
Yep, it's Jerusalem with a Z, so change the S to a Z. One thing of note, in 29 minutes, for people who are interested, this is July 23rd, 2020. It will be military time, 2020.
You are a nerd.
And the only time in history it'll do that. So I guess that's kind of cool. And I got that from Jack Chaplin, the great chef from New London, Connecticut, that I was going to visit this August had we done our Mystic thing, but it unfortunately collapsed. He's the best YouTube chef out there. People should always check him out. He's great. Let's see. Oh, and you would have to look for him as Daddy Jack or Cooking with the Blues. He has those two channels. and Chaplin's Restaurant. That's his third channel. So he's got all those channels. Yep. The other thing is that Midnight Tonight, Taylor Swift's new album comes out. Total surprise.
Nobody cares.
She was working on it.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
No. Except me and other Swifties.
You don't count. So.
Anyway, that's very exciting. So my day was made. And I have to thank Dan Chase, because he was the one that found out, and he immediately...
I'm sure you never would have heard about it.
Well, that's true. But he tagged me on Facebook on Taylor's post. So that was awesome. So I got to see it. But you're right. I probably would not have heard about it. Ha ha, of course I would. All right. So I think we can get into our topic tonight. So, Eric, before, what is it? Why are we doing this topic tonight first, Eric?
We are doing this topic tonight because it was chosen by one of our patrons. Which one chose this, Phil?
I don't know. It was one of our one of the early ones, right before I wrote down the names.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, thank you, random patron, for donating to the pod and submitting this topic. Tonight, we're doing a movie from 2014 called Dig Two Graves.
All right, one, two, three.
Sean!
I miss Sean.
It's not easy losing somebody you love. Wish I could tell you there's some kind of magical answer, but there isn't any.
Hello, child. You lack magic, right, Jane?
How do you know my name?
We can bring your brother back to life, but somebody has to take his place. Should we shake on it?
What is this?
What are you doing with this?
Anyone can tell you.
Dig Two Graves is a 2014 independent gothic thriller directed by Hunter Adams and written by Hunter Adams and Jeremy Phillips. Both of them haven't really done much since. It stars Ted Levine, among other people that I'm not quite familiar with. It was made through the help of the Independent Filmmaker Project and Larry Fassenden. And also the Southern Illinois University. I guess Hunter Adams did a short, and then that was made him be noticed for this group, and they brought him into Illinois because it was originally used, I guess, from Wisconsin. And they did it in Southern Illinois. So it was all like independent making by independent producing companies, and Fassenden as well, who Larry Fassenden, a lot of folks know from his movies in horror. The film got really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for the handful that actually saw it. Didn't get much of a release or a notice, and it actually like disappeared from VOD and disc for so long, the reason why we haven't done the episode, even though it was picked almost a year ago.
Yeah, we chose this 3 quarters ago, and it was unavailable when we picked it initially. And it just showed up on Shudder, I think, the week before last.
Indeed. Yes, it did. And so once Eric saw it, and sure enough, it was pushed hard by Shudder the last week or two, we said, yeah, we better jump on it now before it disappears. Tonight, everybody will get our opinions and our critiques and whatnot, but you also will get some really good Ted Levine quotes from other movies by Eric tonight.
Candy cane. Candy cane.
And what's the other good one? It puts the lotion in the basket.
Puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again.
Lotion
skin. Here's the last one. Is she a great big fat person?
Yeah.
That was great too. Yeah, yes. She was a bigger girl. Yes, she was bigger. Ted Levine. He's the man of pink champagne. That's another good one. Oh, he's the best. From a couple of two cult films there. Anyway, I guess we can get into our thoughts about this film and how we heard about it. So I guess we'll start with you, Mike.
I heard about it because we did a Patreon pick. And that was a film picked. I had not heard about it before then. And I'm not sure if any of us did or recognized it. Yeah, that was it. I saw it finally a couple of days ago with my wife, Pam. And I liked it. It's, as the name implies, it's a revenge-centered film. I really wasn't sure what to expect. And I think they did a pretty good job of giving you characters that were well shaded, right? There wasn't a simple black and white revenge story. I think you could understand, well, with one exception, I guess you could kind of understand where everybody was coming from in this film. And why they were doing the things that they were doing. And so I really try. I don't know that I would have liked it if it had run another 20 minutes, but I did. It's a fairly short runtime, something like 84 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps because it is kind of a somewhat familiar story. It is kind of bleak in the way that it goes out. But yeah, I did like the film. I liked it quite a bit.
All right. Very good. Eric.
Like Mike, I had not heard of this before I got chosen by one of our patrons. I thought this movie was fine. I didn't dislike it, but I don't think I'll revisit it. I had some issues with the way this story was told, because there are things happening at two different points in time, and they keep on going back and forth. And I don't know if that was necessarily the best approach. Maybe show the stuff that happened earlier and then show the stuff that happened later. Because the bouncing back and forth really became annoying to me at certain points. But other than that, I thought all the acting was quite well done. As Mike said, the story is familiar. Not 100% new. But it was pretty well executed. I give this a mild recommend. I didn't think it was an all time great, but it was solid enough.
All right, very good. For me, I heard about this film the same way Eric and Mike did. I never heard of it until we picked it as a Patreon. Though when I did the research, I saw Ted Levine was in it. I said, all right, that's cool. I'm surprised I hadn't heard of it.
Candy cane.
Eric does have an interesting point about the back and forth between the past and the present. The only other film I'm sure I've seen other films, but one film I remember that did it pretty decently was a film called Lone Star from 1996.
Lone Star.
Yeah, that was a neo modern Western type thing. It was pretty cool, mystery type thing. That could be a good episode, actually. And so they were trying to do that. Anybody seen Lone Star? But that was another small film too, with a pretty good cast though. This film here, I was concerned at first because I thought it was going to be a ghost story, and I'd rather not see a ghost story. And then I thought it was going to be a supernatural story, and I think it may not actually even be a supernatural story, and it was just trying to trick us. So it is interesting who this film's for, because it's not really a ghost story, and it's not really a supernatural thriller either. So it's really more for a mystery people, I think, or even maybe kind of coming of age too, maybe. But either way, it's really well made, and I actually enjoyed the film a lot, especially when I found out it wasn't a ghost story, and it wasn't necessarily a supernatural thriller either, and it was just a thriller. So I liked it because it was somewhat different because of that. Though the mystery and what happened wasn't necessarily something that was telegraphed. It was something that was kind of obvious, especially based off the first scene of the film, which is a flashback. You knew something was up. But all in all, I would give it a thumbs up. I actually enjoyed it and thought it was a pretty solid film. Barrett.
I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was really well done. I liked it was kind of a slow boil, but I liked the pacing actually in it. And I'm going to disagree. I actually liked the way it did the flashbacks. I'm not a big fan of the flashback in general. I hate the, you know, you're watching a TV show and it's like 24 hours before and you know where you're going to get because they just showed where the part right before it was. So I just don't like that. But this one, I liked how it was interspersed as the characters were thinking about what happened in the past. And it kind of answered the questions that you might have had from the very beginning of the movie. And I thought the acting was really well done. And I thought the dialogue was good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. I'd call it a revenge flick.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's where the title comes from.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so that's our opinions of the film and how we heard about it. So, Eric, do we have a wiki?
Wiki. All right. After her brother's tragic death, a young girl meets three men who claim they can bring her brother back to life.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, all right. Sounds good. All right. So we'll probably be discussing everything and anything about the plot. So we'll definitely get into spoilers. But before we throw up the spoiler, I guess we can talk about some general topics. Let me ask you guys, did you guys think this was a supernatural involved at all? Or do you think it wasn't?
And it was just out thinking that.
Yeah, me too.
And well, then, I wouldn't say it started out. I think it's at a point, right?
It was trying to trick us to think it was, maybe, right?
Yeah. But like, what it's a. I mean, there's the name implies it's a revenge story. I didn't really know exactly where it was going. When you started with, you start with a scene where. A couple of cops in 1947, I think.
Yep.
47.
Yep. Are disposing of bodies in a quarry, in a, you know, a lake quarry. And, you know, as that scene plays out, at the end of it, the deputy basically fires the sheriff, tells him he's never going to be never going to wear a badge again. And makes him hand it over. So you know that the sheriff did something bad.
Capital right. B. Right.
What's yeah, that?
Capital B bad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. And so this and this, they didn't give it to us for no reason. This is going to tie into the story somehow. What's the thing that's going to end up haunting them? Whether it's literal or metaphorical, I really wasn't going in. I don't generally start with. I don't like this kind of film and don't hope it's not this kind of film generally, unless it's something I've seen a lot of lately. And then I just don't want to see
another one.
Was
that a shot at me, you bastard?
Kinda. just a statement. It has nothing to do with that. So I don't like, look, if I'm promised a shark movie, I want to see sharks, but I wasn't really promised much about this other than it, you know, the name being a revenge film. So I had no expectations whatsoever, whether it's supernatural or not. There are elements in it that may or may not be supernatural, but you know, whatever.
Right. The three guys.
And then we cut to the present day. Right. We see what's that? Yeah, well, we get to those three guys.
I was going to say they felt that way to me. They just felt supernatural, and that's why I felt that way. You know, for a little while into the movie,
they felt rapey to me. That's what I got.
I got that too. I got both, so I was. Both of those feelings were going through me, so I wasn't sure which to go with.
And God knows I've seen enough movies for this podcast that involve
most of them Australian.
Most, but a good chunk of them. Weirdly yes. enough, there aren't a lot of movies that involve both killer animals and rape in Australia. It's usually one or the other. Uh-huh. But yeah, so, and then you cut to a scene set in the present day, 1977, where you have a boy and a girl go to that same crater. And here I'm expecting, like, they're going to, I don't know, somehow discover the body. But no, that has nothing to do with it, or not immediately. The boy is basically calling the girl out for being chicken shit for refusing to jump into the lake. They say they're going to go together. So they hold hands and they go run to jump in. She chickens out the last second. The boy jumps into the lake and he never resurfaces and they never find the body. And that's mostly the setup for what you need to know for the film. Where the revenge comes in, you know, that's the bigger question.
It gets weird.
Yes.
Right. And that's 10 minutes into the film, so there's nothing really spoiling here.
Right.
I mean, it's less than 10 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah.
Go on, Mike.
Yes. So the two stories will eventually tie together. You find out this girl is the granddaughter of the deputy, of Ted Levine, who is now the sheriff of the town. Was this Wisconsin?
It was supposed to be Southern Illinois.
Really? Okay, because there was a lot of cheese
in
there.
Did you just say Illinois?
Well, I'll tell you this, Mike. It was the short that the film was based on, and the director are Wisconsinians.
Okay.
They had to film it in Illinois because that's where the money was coming from. So it wouldn't surprise me if they placed it in Wisconsin, even if it was filmed in Illinois. So you could be right. Continue, Mike.
All right. So, yeah. So I don't know how much more we want to get into before we get into spoilers.
Right, right. Well, I'll say this, is that we're introduced to the two cops doing something dastardly. One obviously was the dastardly Dieter. And I was waiting for someone to laugh. And the thing is that even if the other one isn't the quote unquote bad guy, he's tainted because he's helped covering up a crime, whether or not he participated in it. And I've never understood why people do that, because you're ruining your own life and your own mental health and your own soul if you're a religious person by help covering up something that you should be instead reporting.
Well, we didn't know the background. We didn't know what had happened there. And, you know, some people don't want to see their friends get into trouble.
Well, it's not just that, too. You don't know what happened at that point either, and that he might be more involved than you think. So.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
You just don't know.
Yeah. All right, so either way, we know he's tainted. So if he comes back in the future, the 30 years later, 1977, when the rest of the non-flashback scenes show up, you know that he has a very dark, deep secret that isn't good.
As opposed to those deep, dark secrets that are good?
Those happy-go-lucky deep, dark secrets.
Sorry, Phil.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes we overstate for a reason, Eric.
I know.
To emphasize. Right.
But you know what's interesting is now, after I'm thinking about the film and what we just said, the film is pretty basic if you take away all the mystery around it. Because,
well, the only reason there's a mystery is because of the time jumping.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the tricking of whether or not the three antagonists are supernatural or not.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And that's it. Otherwise, it's a pretty standard tale otherwise.
Right. See, like, I think the first time I saw the technique that Barrett was talking about was, I think, an X-Files episode where they show you a thing and then that's set at the end of the episode, and then they kind of tell the story.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I cannot stand that.
I see, I don't mind when they do. I don't like it when they rely on it too often, and some shows rely on it way too heavily. But one of the reasons they do something like that is to add a little mystery to it. The reason why they told the story, I think, the way they did is because it is a simple, straightforward tale. And it would be, I think, less interesting and over much more quickly if they told it in a very straightforward way. By keeping the characters, their motivations, and what they've done secret, for better or worse, you know, they're trying to more involved. And I've talked about this in the past, that sometimes leaving important character motivations out of a story until the end for the big reveal really just undermines the character. In this case, I think if we knew exactly what Grandpa Levine had done, we may have lost some interest or sympathy for the character. Maybe. I'm not sure. And so it might have made a little bit more sense. It also would have been it also would have revealed the motivation of the three gentlemen very early if we knew the whole backstory. And again, that we remove a lot of mystery, and whether or not they were on the up and up or not. So, although, I mean, you do figure it out soon enough.
Well, I have questions about those three dudes, but I'll wait till spoilers.
Okay. And I will also say I agree with Brad. I like the editing on that. Pam and I were just watching the Netflix series. We just finished watching, actually, the Netflix series based on the novels and video game Witcher. And I understand it got fans really liked it and critics really hated it. And I understand both because really it was there was a lot of it that was not well told. The whole thing is told in multiple timelines, but they don't tell you that. They don't give you any indication of that. And the problem is you have characters like who die and then are suddenly there in the next scene. And you don't didn't they die in the last episode? Why are they still alive?
It took me a while to figure that out, too.
Right. And if you don't know, if you've never read the novel or played the game, the lead character is a character who's, you know, lives for many lifetimes, right? He's a very extended lifespan. You know, so he can live through different periods. And so he's interacting with his family over a period of many years. And that's kind of the point. And so if you don't see any clues with this character that he's aged, and it just there, and it took a little while. I'm like, I think it was in the second episode. I'm like, dear, I think this is in a couple of different timelines here. And she didn't understand. It's like, well, didn't that character die last episode? Isn't she dead?
Westworld for doing this to us.
No, well, Westworld did it. It was intended to be a mystery in Westworld. You weren't supposed that was deliberately obscure. This wasn't.
Right. Because I think I had an actual light bulb appear above my head when I finally figured it out.
This was not in any way. This is the way they were telling the story, and there was never a reveal that hey, multiple timelines. No, I think they just expected you to realize it, and they didn't. They didn't have a 20 years ago, earlier thing pop up.
Is there a connection to this movie?
So my point is, it was badly put together. I think. I don't think it was well edited in that regard.
You mean Witcher?
I think this one was well done. So I think you can tell a story through flashback and through it multiple timelines and make the story interesting and dovetail the plots together, as I think they did here. I thought there were a lot of scenes where they cut back and forth between the present and the past with the character of Ted Levine's character, rather, where we see him as a young man and as an old man. And I thought they did that really well. I liked the editing in this film.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty well made for new filmmakers for sure. And I would agree. It's almost a, what's the word I'm looking for when, something that's trying to be sneaky, not sneaky, but clever. I don't know, but it's a clever way to do something. And they have to do that for certain stories, because then otherwise there really is no mystery. Right. So,
Like Irreversible.
Yeah, okay. Or Memento is another one, right? You know, there's a few like that that do it. This is obviously a little different from either of them, but again, you have to do it. Otherwise, you don't have a story, because the story really isn't much of anything without having the flashbacks, and we learn a little pieces as we go, figuring out who these three guys are. Are they witches? Are they what the heck are they? Are they just crazy, or do they have actual motivation?
So the thing is that, so let's talk about the three guys, right? So the girl, because this is still kind of the, I guess, the last piece to understand the film. The boy was assumed dead.
Are we
dead.
Entering spoiler territory?
Yeah, if you think you're going to say spoilers, yeah, let's throw it out. So yeah, let's just throw out the spoiler. We you know, people get a general idea. So spoiler warning, and we'll talk about anything and everything. So go ahead, Mike, about these three guys again.
All right, so the girl, the boy is assumed dead. The girl is walking home, I think, from school. Alone through the woods, and she is confronted by three gentlemen, shall we say, that are kind of on the rednecky side. And yeah, the first thing that is in everyone's mind, including her, is that they're going to rape her or kill her and dump her somewhere. But instead, the lead character, or the lead of the three, rather, I shouldn't say the lead character. This guy, man in a top hat.
Yeah, Wyeth, I think his name is. Wyeth.
What's that? Wyeth. Right. Yeah. And he basically, he's doing magic tricks with a snake. And he has a proposal for her, because he promises to bring her brother back from the dead. And that's really what's going to drive the plot, the conflict in the story.
Right. Yep. And the thing with them, or at least this scene, is they kind of appear out of nowhere in the way they're filmed, like their angles and stuff, and then the magic tricks too, along with the creepy sleaziness of them, and you know, hanging around this little girl or younger girl, I should say. Makes you wonder, are they like supernatural or whatnot? And this was the scene that made me think that maybe they don't even exist, that they're ghosts. You know, it was only go on.
I would like some clarity now that we're in spoiler section, because I just want to make sure I understood what was going on correctly, which is that these three dudes are the gypsies' kids, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So they're gypsies. They're I guess either they're immigrants or their parents were immigrants.
Okay. Right. And my other question is, was there actually anything magic involved, or were they just trying to get this girl to do their dirty work?
I don't think they were.
I don't think it was real magic. It was just like a magician's trick.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of scenes that make you still really not sure. Like,
yeah.
For example, there's a snake being killed, and then
appearing.
And then there's one scene where Wyeth appears, and it almost looks like he like appeared in like a mist or something, or quick, like grew there. And there's another scene where there's this locket that the girl grabs at the end when she shouldn't have been able to. So there's a couple of things that may make it appear that they were using, and you know, and then there was the occult festival that they did in the cave. So it may, but again, none of it is like, you know, Merlin or anything. So it's like, okay, is it just, you know, people like the Salem witches where they were just out in the woods having orgies?
I guess I didn't ask my question efficiently to get what I was going at. Let me rephrase. Was there a spell that could have brought her brother back?
And there's no answer to that. I don't think
it was. Fair enough.
I don't think they had one. I think they were just tricking her.
Okay.
Well,
basically,
but
they were hoping she would murder the grandson, and then she would go to jail or go to an insane asylum.
Right. Okay. That's what I was getting at. All right.
But cool. That still might have brought her brother back, because there is the statement made at the end that it had to be a life for a life. It didn't matter whose.
Assuming it was real magic, or they were just saying it to
That's right. That's what I'm getting at, Phil. So okay, it says, sure. They say a life for a life, and it doesn't matter who. So it didn't have to be the grandson. And this is at the time that that her grandfather dies, and she has jumped off the cliff, and she comes back. So that might be a question. Right. They don't answer it. If you want, one way to interpret this is that the spell was real, that if it wasn't for the spell and the grandfather hadn't died, she would have jumped off the cliff. She would have died.
All right. Instead, okay, the grandfather, I was about to ask why she lived and the brother died.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a possibility. I don't know why the brother died, because I'm sorry. It didn't look like.
Well, it also seemed like he had done it before.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking the brother
just bad
died.
Luck.
All right. If we want to look at it as non-supernatural, I think the brother died because he was expecting to be holding her hand. And when she let go, he probably was looking or checking to see what happened. And then he probably hit the water the wrong way and cracked his neck or something and just sank to the bottom. So had he held onto her hand and she jumped with him, I don't think that he would have died.
So it's all her fault, and she deserves to die.
Technically, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Totally.
Not intentionally, but yeah, it was indirectly her fault. The movie contradicted itself a couple of times, because there's a couple of times where they said it had to be the grandchild of the ex-sheriff.
And you say they said that, or are you talking about the three guys?
Yeah, the gypsies.
Who were going for revenge?
Yeah.
And wanted that kid to die specifically, so maybe that was their motivation for saying that?
Right, but later in the film, she said to herself, they actually never said that. And so it was kind of a contradiction, so I was going to go back and rewatch, but I just never had any time to do it. So I don't think it really mattered whether or not there was a contradiction anyway, because I'm thinking no magic anyway.
I don't even necessarily know if there was a contradiction, because they started out by saying a life for life, and then they suggest Willie. So I don't know if they actually specifically stated it had to be Willie. They certainly wanted it to be Willie.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because they're, even though they wanted revenge for what happened, and we haven't even said what happened yet, what the revenge was for, they obviously believe that ancestors are guilty of the sins of their forefathers, which obviously is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me question them as people too. I mean, obviously they're a little sketchy anyway for even suggesting, throw the boy off the cliff. So just to say we can bring someone back and you have to kill somebody is sketchy. But for them to actually want to have revenge against a little boy just because of his relation to a forefather who may be evil, kind of maybe
they're gypsies, man. That's how they roll.
Yeah, let's go. Steer you back to Drag Me to Hell.
Right.
Disproportion. It's not about fairness. It's not about justice. Yeah. It's revenge.
That's true. But it was definitely hard to like anybody in the film. There was no one, because you already knew the grandfather was tainted, and even though he seemed. If we'd ever seen the first scene of the film, I would have probably liked his character. And then the gypsies, obviously, you're not going to like, because they're scumbags. And then I didn't like the girl that much, because she had no issue saying, all right, I'll throw him into the quarry. So it was like
she has an issue. Her brother died.
Yeah. But
she's been damaged by that.
Yeah, and she blames herself for it.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sure. Right, she does.
Just like you just did.
Yeah. Like I blamed her. Yes, I blame her.
I actually liked Ted Levine's character. He just didn't. He got involved in something he didn't mean to get involved in.
Well, and here's the other part of the story.
He did, but I mean, I don't know.
And let me ask this, because I was also unclear on the original sheriff's motivation. Like, why was he being so awful to those gypsies? I didn't quite.
He just wanted a woman, from what I can tell.
I think he was a corrupt cop. I think he was just a dick.
So he's just a bad person?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my feeling. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just was wondering if I missed some kind of motivation, that's all.
Right. Basically what it was is he had the hots for the gypsy woman. And when he saw them doing their little religious festival in the cave, he decided to use that as blackmail to get payment for allowing them to live on a property he owned. And the payment was, I want sex with you. And she turns him down and says, I ain't giving you sex. What are you talking? I'm married. And so what he does is he rapes her.
Gotcha.
Well, and you know, that scene with them doing whatever they were doing in the cave, that kind of gave me that supernatural feel as well, because it felt like a black magic scene almost.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was most certainly what the movie was trying to get you to think.
Yeah.
Because even if it was just superstition or folklore, no pun intended to Taylor Swift's new album, or if it was really magic, the point was is that they were trying to make you think that they were devil worshiping type people, even though they weren't. At least that's what I got out of it. I mean, if you walk in and see that going on, this weird orgy type festival, primal, a gimp character and all this other stuff, a woman that's a gimp and all this other stuff, you go, what the hell's going on?
The only people that think there's anything wrong with an orgy are the people that aren't in the orgy.
Yeah, so true.
Well, it depends on what the people look like. I have to be picky about that. So if they all look like Emily Blunt, everything's fine. But
oh my God,
the thing is, yeah, so the whole movie was trying to make us, the audience, feel that the gypsy characters were nefarious people because of their festivals, whatever they were doing. And then we find out that the sheriff was also a corrupt, evil, and a rapist. And a murderer.
Among other things.
And the gypsies were just innocent bystanders trying to live their first, is it First Amendment? Third, whatever amendment is your religion. I forget what number.
Isn't it First?
Yeah, I think it's First. Yeah, your First Amendment. So they were just trying to live their First Amendment, even if they were squatting on his property. What he should have done was simply have them leave the property. But again, that had nothing to do with it. He just wanted to rape the woman, basically. He basically wanted to have her as his sex slave, and she refused, and so he raped her.
Well, he was doing like a, I don't know if a protection racket is quite the right thing, but, you know, he's going around and collecting tribute.
Government sponsored racketeering, right? Government sponsored racketeering.
And so he uses sex as an alternate.
Yeah, they have no money, she says.
Well, I don't even think he cared about the money. No,
that's why he started bringing food, too, to kind of make his guilty conscience feel better.
yeah, that's right.
And certainly, again, this is 1947. I'm not going to, you know, cops today are not necessarily completely clean. But I think that practice would have been a lot more common back then.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, especially in a smaller town where you don't have as many checks and balances. Right? I mean, right. Well, but again, a lot of...
Well, and basically what it comes down to is that as time progresses, like the further back in history you go, the easier it was to get away with shitty stuff because...
Yeah.
It was harder to prove that you did anything. And as time progresses, you know, forensics and capture, you know, sound capture and video capture has come along, and everything like that, which at this point, it's a lot harder to get away with shit than it used to be. So back in 1947, yeah, a lot easier than in, 1977 or 2020.
And, right. And back also, then, if you got caught, it was easier to just literally get away, right? I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
Or just kill the person that caught you, and they'll wonder who killed them.
Yeah, bank robbers, you know, they're running wild, you know, and they lasted for months and months, you know, compared to nowadays. And I don't know if the film was intentionally doing this. I don't think it was, but it's definitely a point, which is the gypsies, whether they are Romany or they were Irish, and I'm not sure which. I'm thinking they were Romany based off of the language they were using. I think that at 1947, I would think they would fear discrimination big time if they went public to, say, the county or the state police. And versus the sheriff, who's dignified and respected by the town folk, who would you believe? The strange, religious, swarthy people, or the fine police sheriff? You know, you see what I'm saying? So I think they were screwed big time as folk in that small town.
Yeah, and really, there is nothing Americans, I know, finer American tradition than hating foreigners. So,
or people that are different than you.
Yeah, that is not in any way.
That's like stupid because, none of us were here to begin with.
Well, Mike's being a little general here because you can go to countries where people have been there since the beginning of time who are indigenous to that country, such as Germany, France, China, wherever, it doesn't matter. And they're all the same as us. They're assholes too. So the only difference is that we're seeing it firsthand because we live here in this country. But if you go to Mexico, I'm sure they have the same problems. Yeah, they all, you know, the indigenous Mayans are always getting shit on down there. And then, you know, you go to Europe and you go to China, you know, you go on and it's everywhere. It sucks. It's you know what it is? It's not
that
an American
doesn't mean
thing.
It's not horrible and stupid.
Yeah. Oh no, that's my point. It's
just
not
because
American
it's prevalent.
It's a human being thing, and human beings.
People suck. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Now, so that's the big mystery, really. I mean, that's it, right? And then what happens is when he comes back because he has the guilty conscience, as Barrett says, with food for the gypsy. She tries to throw him out, and then the husband comes in from work, and already knows that he's been raped. His wife has been raped. So when he sees the cop in there, he goes nuts, and he basically clubs her. Clubs the cop, and then the cop basically kills him.
They end up in a shootout, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it was.
No, he's pushing his head in a barrel of water. The sheriff.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got confused. I thought we were talking about the end.
Isn't that what we're talking about? Didn't Phil jump right to the end?
Well, the flashback.
Okay. I was not in the flashback in my head. I was in 77.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. So what happens is. Yeah, I mean, that's the lot of mysteries. The two mysteries that we find out is that the cop raped – well, there's three. The cop rapes the wife, the gypsy wife, in 1947. Then the next thing we find out is he comes back a couple days later with the food and then gets attacked by the gypsy's husband. And then
understandable.
So he – has to fight back, and he kind of gets the upper hand and shoves the gypsy's head in the water to drown him in like you know, one of those apple things that you do in Halloween where you put your head in the bucket of the barrel. One of those things. And then the wife comes out screaming to have him stop, and that's when the other cop shows up, the deputy, who's Ted Levine, and he tries to hold the wife back and also stop the guy, the sheriff, from drowning the gypsy. And then what happens is the gypsy goes back in the house and gets a pistol to basically shoot the sheriff so he won't kill her husband. And then the sheriff kills her, and then the sheriff kills the gypsies.
The sheriff didn't kill her, though, no. Wasn't it? Wasn't the deputy?
No, it was the deputy.
She grabs a gun to shoot the sheriff.
Right. Because,
not to kill the deputy.
Right. She shoots. She actually shoots, but she misses.
What happens is he lets go of her.
And the deputy shoots her out of reaction. Just a reaction. And the sheriff realizes now they're really fucked, so he shoots the... because now they're up for a murder charge. And so that the sheriff shoots the husband.
But he doesn't even think about it. He just does it, like, fast.
Well, what happens is that he lets go of the gypsy wife to stop the sheriff from drowning the gypsy husband. And when he does that, the gypsy wife goes back in the house, comes out with a pistol, starts shooting at the cops. And then the deputy, who has his hands free because he's not holding someone underwater like the sheriff, shoots the gypsy woman.
She had a shotgun, not a pistol, by the way. Shotgun.
Fair enough. And then the sheriff, to cover up the crime and witnesses, blows the brains out of the gypsy's husband. And so that's the double murder. And then we find out later in the third reveal is when he's raping the gypsy woman a few days earlier, the deputy comes into the house and walks in on the rape. And then he has to try to comfort the children, which are the three gypsies that we see in 1977, as their mother is being raped by the sheriff. And that's pretty much the whole thing, right? I mean, that's the whole mystery in the past.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the problem is a couple of fold. Ted Levine's character doesn't report the rape and doesn't arrest the sheriff for the rape, and he sees it firsthand. So the sheriff's done, because when you have another cop as a witness in a prosecution, the sheriff's done. But he decides to cover that up, and then he also covers up the murders that the sheriff does as well.
But here's the thing, Phil. Yeah. Maybe he would have turned the sheriff in had he not killed somebody himself, but he did.
But this is earlier, though. The rape happened a few days earlier.
Right, and okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Not really. But I also...
I'll explain, Eric. Let me explain it to Eric first.
Basically, I don't think a few days is a big enough deal. Like, you wouldn't make that decision right away.
I don't know. I mean, if I saw the sheriff raping...
It's also, I'm sorry to say, it's 1947. That happened.
Attitudes were different back then. Women were property.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but rape was looked at differently, and it's part
the reason rape is a crime is because it was thought of as damaging another man's property,
which is what he did. He was raping another man's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even believe it that way, or you looked at it that way in that time frame, if that's true,
depends on how gypsies were viewed. Were they viewed as people?
That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, if it was the German American family down the street, and he did it to it, then you got a problem in the middle of Illinois. But since it was gypsies, you're right. Maybe it didn't matter.
Right. I'm just saying there were circumstances. So you're I'm not debating your point that raping somebody is wrong. I'm just saying that I don't think it's unrealistic that he didn't turn them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean, technically, if a lot of times nowadays, people won't turn it in either. But it was just surprising because supposedly the type of human being he is, based off of how the show, the movie portrays him throughout the film, besides these handful of scenes, it felt out of character. And
I don't agree with that, because he's been in the war. He talks about how he's seen some pretty bad things, and he's had to accept a lot over the years, and that was just one more thing. And he got involved, not necessarily purposely, but he got involved. So it kind of just flowed from there. He didn't want to turn in his partner, because that would be turning himself in as well. But he still felt guilty about it, and he did try to mitigate it as much as he could.
Right. And honestly, look, when you're talking about cops, and I know this isn't a city beat, you know, these are two small town law enforcement officers, sheriff and his deputy. Maybe it's a little different.
Here's a question. Are there even any other police officers? Who would we turn them into?
Well,
you go to the county.
Yeah, you'd go up the chain somewhere. But look, you are dealing with a position sort of like the military, where you may at some point be trusting this person with your life. And there's a reason why I know we have this problem with cops, not good cops, not turning in bad cops, is because there's an issue of trust. It's not just the bad cop that you have to worry about. It's how are all the other cops going to be looking at you? Are they going to trust you to have their back? And, you know, are you going to be able to trust them? And so
if you want to see a good example of this, watch a show called The Shield. Best show ever. Yeah.
I totally agree.
Let me ask you this. I was thinking that the rape was like 5 to 6 months earlier than bringing the food. And the reason I say that is because it seemed like she had a little belly, pregnancy belly, during the food scene and the murder scene. And that is probably another way, you know what I'm saying? So I don't, in other words, he had raped her and also impregnated her, and the husband knew it. Did you get that? I
didn't get any of that.
I didn't get any of that either. I didn't notice any baby bump, but
I didn't pick one up. I wasn't looking for one. Right.
I mean, it was kind of difficult because of the type of clothes she wore.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
She wore.
They're not exactly form fitting.
Yeah, yeah. She was wearing.
And I'm going out on a limb and saying she was married and probably fornicated with a husband every now and then.
Yeah, right.
So.
And so it could even been that. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what it was? I think the cop was just, you know, he had a little something. He's trying to show her he's not really that bad of a guy.
Yeah.
Right.
It's okay what I'm doing. Here's some food for your kids. You said you needed some.
Right. Well, all right. Let's say that he was Darth Vader and he was suddenly trying to redeem himself. But
I don't know if redeem himself. I don't think he was trying to redeem himself. I think he was just washing away his guilt, setting it down like a bag of bricks.
Right. And that was my point, is he was trying to wash away the guilt, but he didn't really necessarily mean it, because even though he did get attacked by the husband and he had anger from being attacked and possibly even getting killed by the husband, he was a sadist anyway because of the way he was trying to kill the husband, right? I mean, he could have just shot him, but he was trying to drown him, and he was a bad guy. But yeah, I see all your points. I just it feels bad that the Ted Levine character wouldn't have ended the sheriff when he walked in on the rape.
Well, it's like he said in the movie, Phil, there's no such thing as a man who's all good and no such thing as a man who's all bad.
Yep.
Yeah, he does say that. Yeah.
But Phil kind of likes the black and white.
You don't say. I hadn't noticed that over the last 9 years.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just like everybody else in society. You know, everything's black and white.
No,
on
you're
social
not,
media.
Phil.
No, you're not. Game of Thrones was my first clue with you about that. Yeah.
Well, that's but again, in real life, that's how people are now. If you say one mistake, you're canceled.
No.
No.
That's how you choose to view
it. Not everybody.
Yeah.
Because, again, black and white.
Right.
Well, there's bad in it. Well, it's that's the thing. Is
everything's gray, Phil. Everything.
Everything.
Well, well, I see
even you.
But you've never noticed the thing that Phil is most afraid of?
Ambiguity.
The grays.
Grays. You're right. Oh, my God. That is perfect.
That's true. That's fair.
The theme.
That's fair, Mike. That is fair.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Mike wins the internet tonight.
Yes, he does.
That was good. But either way, I didn't see no gray. Well, let me rephrase and speak proper English. I didn't see any gray in walking in and seeing someone being raped, and there's no gray there. There's just no gray. I don't see it.
He was trying to protect the kids, trying to watch them. Is he supposed to run in there and kick his butt? Kill him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it would be okay to pull out the gun and say stop, and if the guy didn't stop, it would have been okay.
I agree with you. That's what I would do, but it was gray for him.
Right, right.
He wasn't quite sure what to do because he'd been in the war and he'd seen worse things, probably.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, too, is we don't know their backstory, the two. Were they good friends? Did the sheriff do good things for him? And
yeah,
so
that's the other thing too is that they probably spent a lot of time together. So if the person committing the rape was your best friend, do you still feel as you'd have as immediate a response?
Right, right. Well, another film on the waterfront. There's a scene where Kyle Malden, who's a Catholic priest, talking to Marlon Brando's boxer character, and he's saying your brother is a bad guy because he's hanging out with Johnny Friendly, you know, the Irish mob. They're bad people. And he goes, yeah, but Johnny Friendly's been good to me. He's given me baseball tickets. He helped me through paying for my clothes and other stuff. And Malden has a great line. He goes, oh, so he gave you tickets to the polo grounds, big deal. And the point is the kindness and the friendship that Johnny Friendly, the mobster, gave to you, is it worth the fact to ignore all the evil he's done otherwise?
Great.
So even if him and the sheriff were buddies and the sheriff had been good to him prior, does that exclude the evilness the sheriff does?
It doesn't, but it might cause him to hesitate. And in the time he hesitates, things happen.
All right, that's fair.
Yep.
All right, that's fair.
Because, like, I'd be really surprised if, like, one of my friends just all of a sudden started raping some woman. And I didn't expect that of him. Now, we don't know his backstory, so we don't know if this is something he would have expected or not.
People can surprise you, unfortunately.
They can, exactly. So that's part of the problem.
I knew somebody for literally years, and I feel like a real idiot because it was later discovered that they were a child molester. And I had no idea. Neither did any of the other people that I knew that were also friends with this person. But that turned out to be the truth. And everybody's like, what the? Like, it's not something that you can really take in immediately.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I can understand the hesitation.
Me too.
Unless the sheriff was doing this shit all the time, which it looks like he might have been. So
yeah.
There goes that theory.
It's really hard to say. This just might have been his one opportunity that he took advantage of, you know?
He doesn't
seem like a nice guy, but it seems like that just presented itself to him.
Now,
he was
I have another question. I have another question, which is that... Excuse me. Oh, my goodness, that was horrible. All right.
You can't get your shit.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, too.
He's starting to sneeze all the time, too.
Did you eat a bad pickle?
No, I got some stuck in the back of my throat.
Was
no
it a
comments from the peanut gallery. So anyway, what was I trying to say? The former sheriff seemed to understand that they were after his grandson.
Yeah, I agree.
How did he, like, he seemed to know that's what was going on. How did he know that?
That I don't know. I got that feeling,
because he
too.
Specifically said, keep that girl away from my grandson.
And he told his grandson not to hang out with her.
So,
I think that was just because after throwing the gypsies' bodies in 1947 into the quarry, they became fast enemies, and neither of them moved out of town. So it was like, you stay away from that family. I don't think it was anything to do with the conspiracy.
But they're 16.
Yeah, but you don't want...
It would have come up before.
Oh, yeah, but, well, not necessarily. I mean, I remember... there was weird things where I've known adults when I was a kid that hated each other, and the kids didn't know that they hated each other. And what it is, it's like your neighbors, you know, you're polite to them on the street, even though you know they hate you and you hate them. You know what I'm saying? And because, you know, you just put on a face, a happy face.
Oh,
especially,
that's not how I approach things personally, but okay.
Well, I understand you don't, Eric, but sometimes you have to live with the assholes across. When Mike gets screamed at by his neighbor while he's shoveling the driveway last winter, what's Mike going to do? Say, fuck you motherfucker? Or is he going to go just ignore him?
Yeah. I want to
buy
know
a
why
house
he called
with 10 acres.
N-word. That's what I want to know.
You buy a house with 10 acres.
Well,
then you don't have that problem.
That's true, too. But I mean, you just don't know. I mean, you've seen it. It's like Romeo and Juliet. The families hate each other, but the kids don't.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll
and
go
they
another.
All die.
Well, that's true, too.
But also, I would say, I got the sense that the kid liked her, but they weren't friends. He obviously had.
He was
that
interested
thing
in her. She was not reciprocating.
Right.
But for some reason,
she protected him.
It's his grandfather that puts down the edict. Keep her away. I don't want her coming near him.
Well, because now she's coming near him.
Right.
This wasn't an issue before. It's an issue now. I think
right.
that's. They are now starting to hang out with each other.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
All right.
That could be. That's a good explanation.
But how'd he even know?
The kid might have told him. I mean, because she did, like, defend him from getting flushed in the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the toilet scene.
Weren't they caught in the house together or something?
Oh, yeah, weren't they?
Or am I mixing that up with a different
thing? Yeah, that. But he had already told the grandson not to hang out with her.
Right.
And then she showed up at the house.
Well, that's the thing. He knew the grandson had the hots for her, but he didn't want him to hang out with her. And then when she finally shows up to the house, he's going, all right, that's it. Can't have this. So
okay.
I
wasn't really paying attention to the issue. This is something that I would probably need another rewatch to really sort out in my head.
It's not that big a deal. I was just wondering if anybody caught something I didn't. That's all.
Sure. I mean, I understand why he said it, because he doesn't want his family associating with that family. But I see your point, Eric, that it wasn't clear.
I didn't understand that there is a trigger. That's
exactly. Where was the trigger exactly to make him suddenly go nuts on the new sheriff or the Ted Levine character?
Yeah,
that's a fair point. Yeah. I got to say one thing, though. That sheriff, the original sheriff, had some balls for not moving out of the town after losing his job.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, all right.
I can't even understand his anger after what he did. He's lucky that he wasn't in jail.
he's a behavioral health individual, such as just social personality disorders. There's something going on in there that's not right.
That's why he was the
sheriff. Agree with that statement. There's something going on in there that ain't right.
He's a wacky. Yeah, I mean, he raped a woman, and he had no problems killing people and throwing them in the quarry. That's disgusting. Mm-hmm. He had no conscience. He was a wackadoodle.
How do you spend your weekends?
I don't get to that shit. That's anyway. Yeah. So you're right, Mike. I didn't get your point, but yeah, you're right. This is Australian. See, I forgot about the main trigger of the why the murders happened until we started talking about it. It's because of the rape. So yeah, this is an Australian movie. It must be a remake of an Australian film.
Is this an Australian movie?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I thought my joke was more on point than I thought.
Oh, so it was you that said it. I'm sorry. I thought it was Mike.
Yeah. No. Okay. Funny.
Yeah. I was just going along with the joke because, yeah, that's what
I will say that I thought that Samantha Eiler was very good in this movie. She was.
I totally agree. Yeah.
And she was literally 16when they filmed this. Or
I
actually,
think she's
when it was
younger,
released.
But...
When it was released, I guess she was younger when they filmed it. So I thought she did a fantastic job, particularly considering her age at the time.
Yeah, she probably was 15 or 16 when it was filmed then, yeah, no doubt about it. And, yeah, she was great. I mean, well, that's the thing is that, you know, even though these are all unknowns or Illinois folk or whatever that they worked in, you got to give the casting director, you know, I'd be curious to see how many people they had to get to, you know, do a demo, to, you know, before they finally chose her because yeah, this film was excellently cast with all unknowns except for Ted Levine, really. Mm-hmm. And everybody seemed like they were professional and, been in the business for years, whether they were and have been or not.
I gotta say one of the, probably the moment in the movie that made me cringe the hardest, even though there's
the bathroom scene.
That's you, Phil. Even though there's tons of rape and murder going on, it's when she was running away after her brother jumped and she fell and hit her head.
Oh, I thought she was dead for a minute there. Yeah. She did a great job there.
When she fell down, I was just like, oh.
I wrote that down on my notes saying this whole movie is going to be that she was the one that died and not her brother. And the brother is going to find.
You were totally wrong.
I was completely wrong. But I thought it was going to be because that scene was so weird. I guess it was more because it was in her perspective, so she, you know, blacked out for a bit. Mm-hmm. But the way they filmed it, it made it look like it was like someone that died, and then this is their, you know, their Jacob's Ladder moment. And I thought that's what the film was doing, and I wasn't convinced she wasn't dead. Until she came up at the very end from the water and wasn't dead.
Okay.
And I thought what was going to happen is that she thought her brother was dead. She started running. She fell off a small ledge, cracked her head, and probably died. And then the brother was going to find the body, and we were going to find her, find out at the end that she was dead the whole time.
Hmm.
And that's what I thought was going to happen.
Well, that's not, I can see how you might have gone there.
Yeah.
But so
that you were still wrong.
Yes.
It would have been an interesting story too. It just wasn't the direction they took.
Right.
Well, and because of the weird things with the three gypsies popping up, and the snake and all these other things, and stuff like that. I'm thinking, okay, I bet you this is her. She's dead. And that's the reason why I thought it. But again, yeah, I was wrong. It was an interesting theory though. I thought,
yeah.
So the scene with the bathroom, oh my God, Eric, I was so grossed. That was disgusting.
You've never seen anybody get swirly before.
Yeah. You haven't seen, it's never been performed on you. That really surprises me.
What the hell type of comment is that?
Yeah. Hilarious one.
Well, it was so much fun. No, I've never seen that ever happen or heard of it happening ever. But that is a terrible thing. Terrible thing. And then also I felt sorry for the mother.
Why? It's not like they went to the bathroom in it first. It's clean
right.
Water.
That would be a chocolate swirly.
Yeah. All right.
And I know that happens to some people.
That would be truly nasty.
Yeah. Also, another thing that made me think it was supernatural and not supernatural was the mother having the miscarriage when she did. It almost made it look like, okay, it was intentionally done by magic.
Yes.
But so I thought that was one thing that made it supernatural. But then I also said, well, wouldn't that count as a life? And therefore, the brother would be back now.
Oh, You know, only if they ran across my brain quickly, and then I dismissed it.
I think they had to jump in the quarry. I think that was the key that I felt like.
Well, I also felt that by the end it wasn't supernatural anyway, and it was just bad luck that she had the miscarriage.
I don't know they had to jump in the quarry. It's just the easiest way she knew to kill somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, they wanted her to push him in the quarry, so
they
felt
wanted
like
her to kill him.
Yeah.
But them but as far as looking at it from a supernatural aspect, them saying that he needed to be thrown into the quarry, they weren't telling her kill him any way you can. They were saying he needs to be pushed in the quarry.
Well, I think
then your brother will come back.
I think they were just using the quarry because that's where the brother died.
Right. Yes. I agree with you, but I'm thinking if you're thinking from a supernatural aspect, that would be why they were asking for that.
I don't know. I think I may be with Mike on this one, where they just wanted – they were just saying that someone has to die. The quarry was just a good way to do it. But that's just
– So basically, these three grown men who wanted revenge, instead of having balls and taking revenge from themselves, tried to manipulate a teenage girl into committing murder.
Yes. Right.
Well, and I'll tell you why, Eric. I agree. I was thinking that, too. I was saying, why didn't they just get a fucking shotgun and go to the ex-sheriff and say, fuck you, and kill him? I think the reason they were doing it this way instead was because they didn't want to go to jail. Because if they did that the way they should have done it, they would have been known, they would have been murderers, and they would have been all arrested. But if they had someone else do it, then it would be something they could get away with, even though you could technically
spineless cowards.
Most certainly are. But also, and technically, their plan isn't that good, because the girl could have said, "Well, they told me this story, and they asked me to do it," and they could be accomplices, maybe. But
Say,
it sounds a little fishy to me. What are you talking about, supernatural and bringing back the boy? He's not back. He's dead. What are you talking about? It had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, so, but who's responsible for law enforcement?
the grandfather.
Right. Does the grandfather, I mean, is he going to want to be the one to take the, you know, he knows why they did it. Is he going to want to arrest them and have them tell their story to a jury? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that they wanted revenge. They wanted to hurt these two people.
So they were going for the karmatic 2-for-1 special.
And the sheriff is the one who shot the mother.
Yeah.
Ted Levine is the one who shot the mother.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other sheriff, and if he hadn't done that, then maybe the parents would have survived. They get more justice, I think, his daughter lives, but he's going to be tortured with the fact that she's going to jail and she's going to be there forever. They don't want these two guys to die. They want them to suffer.
Okay. All right.
And I think that's it, right? They're not going to go murder the girl, and they're not going to murder the boy themselves.
Right.
For very good logistical reasons, and maybe cowardly reasons, or maybe they're just fucking lazy. I don't know. But you know, it's also going to give them a richer revenge to put them in this situation. They will torture the daughter, the granddaughter, and they will murder the grandson.
Right. Yeah. All right. That's fair. That's fair. I mean,
well, he does mention that she's going to get away with the perfect crime, maybe.
Right. One thing is they do, even though statute of limitation, I don't think there is for murder, but murder cover up, rape maybe. I have no idea what the statute of limitation is, but either way,
murder there isn't one. You know, there's no. You know what? You got away with it for 20 years. Good for you.
Right. So they had a lot of blackmailing stuff against the sheriff and the ex sheriff, but again, they were children, right? So their story still may not hold up. But I would think that would be enough to scare the shit out of both the sheriff and the ex-sheriff. And I think it did. At least it scared the hell out of the ex-sheriff, right? Because he was the one that was protecting them.
Well, they were poor gypsy boys.
Yeah.
So who did they have access to? Who were they going to tell? Who right. would believe them?
No, I mean now. I mean now in 1977.
They were going to tell what happened 30 years ago? Who's going to believe them?
That's right. That was my point, yeah.
You know, and you're still, you know, I don't know what Illinois with gypsy relations are, right, in 1977. But certainly you don't get the sense that they are welcome members of the community. They are the three redneck guys, Larry, Daryl, and his other brother, Daryl, living out there eating dead squirrels, waiting for the zombie apocalypse to happen,
right.
And doing weird mystic voodoo shit. There's no evidence for anything that they can claim. The bodies are all gone. What are they going to do? Go look in the quarry, where apparently you'll find lots of dead bodies from Prohibition.
Right. Well, and plus they didn't know where the bodies were buried anyway.
And they probably wouldn't know, right? Unless they used their voodoo to figure it out.
Now, who was that voodoo woman, the naked woman? Because she appears a couple of times, but that's it. And then she just disappears out of the film. Any idea, anyone?
I don't remember what you're talking about.
When they're doing the magic rituals, there's a woman dancing around.
Wasn't that the guy's wife?
Oh, okay.
Oh, one of the brother's wives?
No, wasn't that the guy's wife who gets shot later on?
No, I'm not talking about the flashback scene. I'm talking about when they bring
Bloody snake scene.
Yeah, the bloody snake scene. And they bring her back to their house, and they do the deal with her where she agrees to kill, you know, to get her brother back. But there's this woman there, and that woman is never really explained, right?
Well, she's just dancing around for the ceremony, you know. They found her on Craigslist.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly, Craigslist. Whatever's Craigslist from the back?
The classifieds, yeah.
Yeah, the classifieds back in 1977. Yeah. That was the only thing I didn't understand, because that character, you would have think, would have been hanging out within the rest of the movie. But she just like was there for convenience.
That might be a thing that I would need to know. Maybe if we knew something about gypsy magic, might be better explained to us. You know, we don't know if this is I get the sense there's no community. Right. There's not.
At least these three anyway. Yeah.
Right there. Because we don't see any connection. There's no other homes in the area. This right. isn't like the Wolf Man, where, you know, you have the gypsy caravan doing the traveling show.
Right.
I honestly don't know whether she was real or a figment of her imagination. I get the sense she was real, but what is her relationship to these kids? I had no, or these now adults, I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. That was one of the things that was unexplained in the film.
It could have been one of their wives, could have been one of their daughters. I didn't get a great handle on her age compared to their age. But those, their age, they should have been, it was, you know, in their 40s.
Right.
Or maybe early 50s, depending on their age at the time of the flashback.
It was 30
years later. So they would have been there in their 40s. 30s or 40s.
Well, it depends on how old they were. They could have been 7 or 8 years old, and they would have been 38, 39, 37.
So late 30s, early 40s. And they could have, in theory, a daughter that was in her, like, 20.
Yeah, but she was naked and walking around. You know, you use it
20-year-old girls can do that.
Not in front of their parents. Not in front of their parents.
I don't know what the gypsy tradition is.
Yeah. Either way, she just disappeared from the
film. Wait, to be fair, I also don't know what the Illinois tradition is. So.
Either way, she disappeared from the film, and I was just confusing as well. What was my point?
Yeah, there's no explanation.
Yeah.
I barely remembered it, let alone be bothered by it.
Right. Well, no, she was naked, so that immediately was like the light bulb. Ding, 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 ding.
That's not a light bulb, Phil.
Yeah. What is it? What is it when I don't know what it is.
It's called an erection.
No. It's you pique your interest. Pique your interest. It's like, oh, hi. Thank you. What else do we want to talk about? Anything else?
No.
We really didn't discuss the very end of the movie.
Well, let's talk, by the way, just the snake, you know. What does the snake represent? Since Chrissy's not here, let's talk a little symbolism.
Okay.
I said symbolism, and she yelled at me.
Let's see.
Well, I mean, you have a serpent. Rattlesnake with... What's that?
I was going to say the serpent in in Eden, right?
Right, so you have temptation. You have the Ouroboros, the snake eating its own tail, which is representation, I guess, of infinity and something cyclical. And, you know, the revenge certainly kind of works that way, that you do have that sort of feedback loop going on here. You obviously have a rattlesnake, and of course, rattlesnakes are things that warn of danger. I'm getting a lot of conversation from my cats right now. I don't know why.
What else? Snakes symbolize. Well, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me.
Yeah, but I don't think that's. I think we kind of touched on that. Just because was there a three beat anywhere? Did we catch a three beat? There was only one rape, right? I guess there were three trips to the gypsy house, right? In the flashback.
Yeah. I think it was only two. There was the. Oh yeah, you're right. There was the third, which was the actual rape itself. Yeah, yeah. The beginning of the rape, which is the first flashback. The second flashback was the bread, and which was basically the murder when they murdered them. And then the third one was the actual rape occurring, and the cop walks in on them. So there's three. That's your three beats right there, Mike.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. What about the conflict change thing? The sheriff, I think, I'm sure he didn't want to die, but I think he was okay for dying after, because everything was becoming quote unquote right, or at least the best it could be after 30 years. Where all the villains die together, and everybody that wasn't a true villain but only a villain because of circumstances forgave each other. So in other words, the original sheriff dies, and he was always a villain, and he doesn't have a scene of redemption. And then Wyeth and Levine's character die, and they forgive each other.
Did they forgive each other? I don't get the sense that there was forgiveness.
Yeah, well, I don't know about forgiveness. They just embraced each other at the end is kind of how I felt like.
Yeah, because it was brought him back to when the scene from 30 years ago during the rape where he comforts the three kids.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Well, they were really kind of just clocking time almost until the end, and what should have happened then happened now.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair point too. Also, they have that extra scene where Ted Levine's talking to his granddaughter about people and about the alien grays, and it's not black and white, and that everybody has good and bad in them and stuff. And then he talks about how he did two good things in his life, but only one's worth really mentioning again, and I forget what it was. Was it something to do with her? It was that he came home from the war, and he was able to bring up his children and stuff. He survived the war.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it was kind of depressing because, but you know what though? I think it was okay because he knew that he had done bad by covering up everything and there was still justice not served yet.
Yep.
This was before the final scene, even though it was like a flashback, a modern day flashback, like from 3 weeks earlier or something. So I felt that was a good scene, even if it was a sad scene. It would have been a truly sad scene if it was someone that hadn't done anything bad that said such a thing. Then they would just be like a nihilist. But since he had guilt, him saying that scene made him made the scene work and be fair, I guess. But I don't know. What else? Anything else are we mentioning? What are we talking about? Anything?
No, I think it's a downer of a movie. The girl survives and she gets to be with the grandson. Although, I mean, really, how many like relationships with 15-year-olds work out in the long run? Yeah. You know, so it's you know, that is what it is. I don't know. I don't know who's going to raise the child, the little boy.
Didn't he have parents?
He was living with the grandfather.
So yeah, he was living with the grandfather. We never saw the parents.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, I misunderstood that. Okay. Yeah. So he's screwed. He's going to the orphanage, beat up by nuns.
But Phil doesn't have any preconceived.
Maybe her family was going to take him in because the brother had died. So now they'd have a son again.
Eric, I don't. I was just saying a funny line, the stereotype. I just seen twins with the other night, and the you know that's why the nuns.
Yeah.
Up. What else? What did the lockets symbolize?
The lockets confused the hell out of me. I didn't understand their where they came from or what their purpose was.
I thought it was just a talisman.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like, but I don't know. I didn't see why it was so important.
Right, but even if it was a talisman, what was its importance? It was owned by the woman that got raped and killed. And, yeah, I might as well say, I mean, she was murdered due to self-defense, but she being dumped in the quarry makes it a murder and not just self-defense, I guess. So it was her talisman or her necklace. And when they dumped the bodies over, he kept it. I think it was Levine's character.
Right. They do show him closing his fist on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it symbolized guilt or things not being right. And then when the girl has it around her neck, for some reason the gypsies wanted her to wear it. When she loses it or hands it to her dead brother spirit or the imagination or whatever, then that meant everything is okay now, I guess. I don't know. And that's the one scene that you could argue is supernatural, the ending.
Yeah.
Because obviously she didn't see the brother, and the brother didn't come and take away the talisman unless it was actually supernatural. Otherwise, it was just a dream sequence or something. Anything else that we didn't bring up? Anybody want to bring up?
We're done.
No, I was going to say, even if the brother had come back, you know, they had set it up by saying they had never found the body. So even then they would have had plausible deniability about whether or not it was in fact something supernatural or whether they just, you know, found him.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Not that it happened because he didn't come back.
He didn't. All right. So I guess that's all we got on that. Since Eric wants to close shop, sounds fine with me.
I'm not in a hurry to close shop. We're spinning our wheels here.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I meant on the movie. That's what I meant. Yeah. That was a shop on the movie. Eric, before we get into any other stuff, what have you seen or read that you wanted to let folks know about?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time watching The Shield, the best show ever.
Oh yeah.
This is actually my third time through the series. I love it.
The lead character, the actor, he's from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah, wait, nobody cares.
Do you own the series, or are you seeing it on a streaming service?
Yes and yes. I purchased the entire series on DVD. I lent it to somebody a few years ago and never saw it again. And I'm currently watching it on Hulu.
Okay. I was wondering where it is because I don't see it.
Can you ever get it back, or is it gone forever, you think, Eric?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is just, it's a friend of a friend, so it's just not somebody I see that often. I'm not stressed out about it. I'm not pissed or anything.
Right. And it's on Blu-ray right now, too, anyway.
Other things I've been watching. Let's see. I watched... On Her Majesty's Secret Service, a Bond movie, which I'd never seen before. And it was interesting. Had some awful, awful editing. And it's the one with George Lazenby. So it's like the only Bond movie where he was Bond. So it's very strange in that regard. But it's also the only Bond movie that like ended on a serious note. Like, usually Bond movies ends and he's in bed with a girl and somebody's trying to talk to him on the phone and he's too busy making out. But like this one had like a serious ending that actually like hit me in the feels. I was like, well, shit, I didn't see that coming.
I like that Bond flick. That's a really good one.
So if you're into Bond, that's worth checking out. I watched Blue Steel, from 1990 with Jamie Lee Curtis, where she plays a police officer that gets in trouble for shooting somebody. So this is clearly fiction. But you know, it's actually a decent movie. It's a little weird. I don't think it entirely makes a lot of sense, but if you're looking for a movie with Jamie Lee Curtis playing a cop, check it out. I watched Greyhound on Apple TV. That is basically Tom Hanks versus German U-boats, and you should watch it. It's pretty cool. Then I rewatched The Dark Half, the Stephen King adaptation. That's not a great movie. It's okay. Not great. It's in their defense, not an easy story to adapt. But at the same time, it's all right. And that's what I've been watching.
All right. Very good. For me, I've been rewatching, I think it's season 13, which is season one of Tom Baker's Doctor Who. I bought that on Blu-ray. And so The Robot, that's the first storyline. So I'm watching that one. I remember it as a kid. The show isn't as good as when I saw it as a kid, because you know it has this similar stuff to 1970s television, like all the other great shows that I liked, like Charlie's Angels and Wonder Woman and all those shows, and The Hulk. And when you rewatch them, they're not as good as they were when you watched them as a kid, but it's still good. Enjoying it, and hoping to get through that season. I did then watched Tom Cruise's War of the Worlds. I rewatched that two nights ago, I think. Nice. And it still, yes, it still holds up as a fantastic film. Again, Tom Cruise is awesome. He's the best. I think he's the reason why the film is awesome. And that says a lot, because there's a lot of good special effects and a pretty decent story, even if there is a flaw here or there, like any movie. So high recommend on that one. Then I read the novel, The New Neighbor by Ray Garden, who's known mostly as a splatterpunk horror writer. It was pretty solid. It was fun. It's not as good as Live Girls, which was the only other book I've read by him, but that one's considered a cult classic and whatnot. So, and this one is, you know, just another book in his category, in his catalog. It was good. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and I've completed 14 out of 18 levels on Alien Isolation on a recommendation of Abe and Mike.
But I still haven't played that. How is it?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's frustrating. The saving is a pain in the ass here and there, and because if you die, you have to repeat a lot of crap.
Yeah,
so that sucks. And it is definitely a stressful game because of the enemy is almost impossible to kill. You can't kill him when it's the alien. And it's unfortunately takes some changes to the world where there's these androids and they're a pain in the ass. All in all, it's a pretty solid horror game. I'm enjoying it. My daughter, my older daughter especially, loves watching me play it. And when the scary parts, she runs and hides behind my chair. and then she says, "Do you think I hear him? I hear the alien." And then she says, "You should go left." And, you know, it's like, she really gets into it. It's really fun.
Is she any good at giving you good advice?
She's actually. I'm impressed. For 6 year old, she says, "All right, duck and hide behind." She goes, "Hide under the desk. Hide under the desk."
Cool
stuff. So. So she really knows what she's doing. I was impressed.
Well, hiding under things is pretty much the 6 year old's strategy for surviving things.
That is true. However, in this game, sometimes it is appropriate because you're playing like your 6 year old against.
Thing is, with any kind of survival horror game like that, you know, they have to do that to you with the save system. It sucks, but otherwise, people would just keep saving every 30 seconds.
It would
remove any tension.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends. Some games are better than others as far as the how far the save points are spread out. Right. Like if I have to go back, 2 minutes, okay. If I have to go a bit 10 minutes, that's gonna piss me off a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Like these later levels, what I've been doing is when I find a save point, I save. And then I don't play normally, and I've just been like running down the halls, opening every door until I get killed. And I said, all right, now I got a little idea because
that's an interesting approach.
Yeah. And it's worked because then I don't have to worry about 10 minutes of work and then I have to redo the whole fucking thing.
Right.
Like you said, it's just rotten. That's pretty much about it I've done. What about yourself, Mike? Any books, movies, video games, TV shows?
Summer school's kept me really busy.
I didn't know you had to go to summer school.
just for 20 years. But still haven't graduated. I've been in summer school for 20 years. Oh, God, that sounds like a long time. Holy crap, I thought it was 5 years.
It is, in fact, a long time.
A really long time.
So anyway, that's eaten up a lot of time. I have been playing a video game a lot that I won't mention because I don't want to give Phil the satisfaction.
Yes. Yes, dude. Is it awesome, dude?
I know what it is.
And
don't worry, I'll mention it.
On a completely unrelated note, Phil, I've been seeing a lot of ads for Far Cry 6 apparently coming out soon.
Yes. Both Barrett and was it Kevin Letts? No, Sean Fox. Sean Fox, I think. It was either Sean Fox or Kevin Letts. I think it was Sean. Both sent me articles all about it, so I was all excited.
And starring Giancarlo Esposito from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's right.
And The Mandalorian. He's getting a lot of work playing villains, apparently.
There actually is a Far Cry movie that has been made already by U-Bowl. I sent Phil a link about that, too. Yeah, that's what I said when I saw it. But yeah, it exists.
Oh, jeez.
Does it have to?
Well, it has to. It just shouldn't have been by him. It should have been by someone in Hollywood that's awesome. So how are you doing there? What part are you at? Right. Which lane did you go first? I usually spin through all different ones. I don't just focus on one, but go on.
I did the valley first with the, younger brother, and then I'm just finishing up the mountains now with the wolves.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one, too. I think the younger brother one, I like that part best because it reminds me of it's farms. It's all farms. So my favorite one. I like that one the best out of the three. But anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I also watched a movie. I think it was
isn't
now.
Isn't the game awesome, though? Isn't the game awesome?
Well, yeah, it's very much follows the formula.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched the movie Vivarium, which I think is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I have that on my list as a potential episode, Eric. I didn't name that to you tonight, though. But anyway, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I watched it with Pam. She was okay. She seemed more lukewarm on it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, who's that actor that's in it?
Jesse Eisenberg and Imogene Poots.
Yeah, I'm surprised you liked it, Mike, because I heard it's one of those type of films that you wouldn't like.
Why?
Because it's like Black Rainbow and Mandy. I heard it was like one of those weird types of films.
No, it's not. It's not even remotely like those, I don't think. Okay. In terms of its style, in terms of its presentation, it's not.
Okay.
Straightforward story.
More happy.
And it's unfortunately something that is really hard to just tell anybody what it's about without really spoiling it. It's basically about just the wiki for it would be that it's a couple goes to look at a home in a community, like a sort of like a gated community,
and can't find their way out. Right. Could it be an episode, you think?
I think it would be interesting as an episode. But I would want, like I said, I liked it a lot. There's definitely a sort of a science fiction element. Pam was more lukewarm on it. I would want somebody else to watch it and, let me know what they thought. It's again, I think it's on Amazon Prime, so you could probably do it there. I got it as a 99-cent rental a couple of weeks ago, so.
It is on Prime. I just put it on my watch list.
All right, there you go. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like the two leads.
A lot,
I
very little.
Leads. Yeah, interesting. On a side note, Mike, what did Pam think of Dig Two Graves? I was just curious.
She liked it, but it was depressing. The ending.
Gotcha. Anything else, Mike?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Barrett.
Wait. I want to hear what Barrett has to say, but before, Mike, just how is your 4K experience going?
Unfortunately, it hasn't been going very well because I've been busy. I had my grades due yesterday, so of course that's when the TV arrived. Okay. So there was that, and by the time I was done, I was just too tired to take advantage of the TV, and I've had a busy day today. Spent an hour on the phone with DirecTV to switch us over to a 4K upgrade, which at first they wanted to charge us, I think it was like $800 for the boxes for it.
What?
And it's like, wait a minute, we've never paid for the frickin' boxes before. They may have been listening over the line when I mentioned something about Roku to Pam, because the next thing you know, we're not paying for anything, and the bill is like $15 less than what we're paying a month right now. So nice. I don't know how that happened.
Well done. Well done.
What company is it? What company is it?
DirecTV. DirecTV's got apparently a good reputation for its 4K content.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Wow, they tried to jip you, and now they gave you a bonus.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what this guy. It was clearly nobody knew what the hell they were talking about there. But
sure.
Yeah, that took about an hour to fix.
Gotcha. And did you get the boxes yet? Did they show up?
No, they're showing up tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I've got plenty of movie because I've been buying 4K discs for years. I know I got one for Kong Skull Island. When did that come out? 2015?
Oh, yeah.
I know that one. I don't know if that's the first 4K disc I bought. I know I bought it on 4K because for a while now, I've only been buying things mostly been buying things on 4K if it's something that I knew I was going to be wanting to watch later on 4K set.
Right. Sorry, Phil.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say to Mike, because I sent him a short list of titles that I recommend picking up on disc. And those particular titles are ones that just blew me away when I saw the visual quality. So that's why I recommend those particular titles.
We'll certainly pick them up. So the remote, Eric, you'll tell me, you'll figure it out what the problem is, because it's because right now we have it it's 77 inches. It's a big TV sitting on the TV table. So the remote for it is sort of like the Wii remote.
Okay.
Right? It has a motion sensitive thing.
Oh, no
and
shit.
The red arrow appears on the screen and moves around on the screen. As you select things. Now, Eric, can you please tell me what is a potential problem with having a red dot moving around on a large TV?
Cats.
Did you get an LG?
I did.
Yeah, that's what I have. I have the same thing as far as the remote thing.
Yeah, it was the best rated one on the market, and I did a lot of digging, and it said this was the one to get.
Yeah, that's why I asked you how much you
paid for it. A lot.
You pay for it.
A lot.
It was a lot. That's not polite, Phil.
It was a lot,
but we basically...
Why is it not polite to ask how much a TV costs? What are you talking
about? Well, just look up a 77-inch LG. It was a lot. And it's you add in... Now, we got our tax rebate. We took money that we had saved for our 20th anniversary vacation to New Orleans, which is not going to happen this year.
Oh, you got the COVID, right? You got the COVID.
And we had some...
COVID money back.
Credit card rewards program gift cards from Best Buy that pretty much paid for the whole thing.
You haven't answered my question. So you didn't get the COVID money?
No, not much.
Oh, I thought everybody got like $1,600 or whatever it was.
No.
It depends on what your income was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know how it works. Whatever. All right, interesting. Okay.
Pam and I both work and have no children.
Oh, right.
We got COVID money, both of us work and don't have children.
I got a little COVID money. It wasn't as much as a lot of people, though. That's fine with it. I make a decent living.
Right, that's right. I got extra for each kid. I forgot about that.
I think anything for kids, but we got money.
Yeah. Also, Mike, one film you may want to pick up on 4K. I have it. I haven't watched it yet because I don't have 4K. But A Girl on a Train. Because Emily Blunt in 4K would be awesome.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Well, it's true. Emily Blunt in 4K would be awesome. Oh, actually, I got A Quiet Place, too. I mean, the first one, Quiet Place, also in 4K as well.
Yeah,
Summer of Love on – it's not in 4K, but on the big screen.
yeah, that's not in 4K, though, yeah. Adjustment Bureau, maybe, and Looper. And Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah, she's awesome. Emily Blunt's the best.
Settle down.
Well, she has a lot of damn good films. That's what Edge of Tomorrow. Doug Liman directs. Tom Cruise stars. Emily Blunt stars. Bill Paxton.
Settle down.
And McQuarrie wrote it. That's right there. Anyway, sorry.
Somebody's going to have to trank Phil pretty soon.
Yes.
Anything else, Mike? Anything else?
No, that was it.
All right, Barrett, what do you got?
So I watched The Beach House on Shudder.
Oh, yeah, that's on my list, too, Eric, as a possibility. Is it any good? I heard it's pretty good.
I enjoyed it. It's like an ecological horror film, and it's got a little bit of Cthulhu feel to it, a little bit. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And then we are watching the Cursed show on Netflix. It's kind of a take on the Arthurian legend.
Yeah. Oh, how is that? I started it one day and got interrupted.
I'm actually enjoying it. I think it's pretty good. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Best show ever? No. But it's pretty good. It's enjoyable. And
yeah, I just saw, I got the sense it was, oh, Arthur, and it's a chick.
No, that is not, that's not the case. She
oh, okay,
because
that seems to be the way they're portraying it. And
yeah.
That's not the case. That's...
She is not Arthur, and Arthur is in the story. That's
okay.
All I'll say, but he's not the Arthur you would expect. So it is
a
different take.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with some gender swapping, but gender swapping King Arthur seems like a huge stretch.
Yeah.
Oh, so
and that definitely
not,
she is not
curse?
Arthur. She's playing a totally different character that's kind of not even pre-Arthur, kind of at the same time as him.
Okay, so it's not a gender swap. It's like in the
nope.
same period or so, but kind of before. Okay.
They're friends. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And it's not Guinevere.
No, she's not Guinevere.
No, I did see the opening text. There's like words on the screen when the thing starts.
Yeah.
And it's like, before the lady in the lake gave the sword to Arthur, there was somebody else, a girl. And that's the story.
Yep.
Okay, so it's just a warrior woman?
Kind of, yeah. A little bit. I wouldn't call her a warrior. She's more of a magic user, kind of more like Merlin.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, like Morgan Le Fay.
She's in the show too.
gotcha. All right. So it's and you said it wrong. It's not best film ever or best show ever. It's best show ever.
I know. I just can't be you. I don't want to ruin that for you. You know.
Well, Eric used it too. He,
I know, but
I took a shot.
You know, he yeah. he
right.
deserves.
So the show is good, but it's not the best show ever.
Right, exactly. It's no Shield.
right.
But it's good. It's enjoyable watch. Okay. And then I bought Far Cry 5, but I have not started playing it yet. I just haven't had a chance. So.
Best game ever.
Ever.
Ever. Oh, yeah.
We right. are ridiculous.
That's pretty much it. That's
all right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Now, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It is a general interest podcast called the Askancy Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Excellent. And Mike, me, you, and Eric do another podcast?
Yes, it is the Cinema a la Carte Podcast, where we discuss films that probably are not dark discussions appropriate. We rotate between the three of us, picking a new film to discuss each month. The most recent film that most will show up sometime in the next year is Collateral. Before that was Forbidden Planet. And then before that was Inside Out. So you're getting a bit of a range of different films from different eras of different genres. And, you know, you're not less likely to see, you know, rapey, revengey movies, although that we may have kind of already done one of those. So... to start the whole thing off,
but it was a Western, which is
it was a Western,
yeah,
rapey, because that's what made it different. It was rapey revenge movie with spurs, so
spurs,
and that's what makes it different.
That's right. That was a rapey film too. I forgot about that. Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Inside Out has some dark stuff.
Well played.
Oh, Mike's on fire tonight.
And let's see. Barrett, myself and you have done a couple of episodes of a podcast.
Yes, Halloween Psychotronic Reviews.
Halloween Boutique.
Boutique. Sorry. Brain's not working. We'll be doing... Are we doing the Vampire Show on that?
Yes, yeah, that's the next one, yeah.
That'll be our next review. We'll be reviewing The Vampire Show on Netflix.
Yeah. So we'll see how that is. So far, I've watched two episodes. And we'll discuss how we liked it then. Yep. Anybody
if
wants
ever,
to join
if you
us?
Ever finish.
Right, it's been tough. check us out then, or look for it, I should say. And any Patreon would help and be greatly appreciated. Let's see. We got a final thoughts on this film. So, Eric, what do you got?
I like this film, but I wasn't thrilled by it. I probably will not watch it again. If it sounds like your kind of thing, check it out because it's pretty well done.
And Eric, since you didn't do it much, what are some of the lines that Ted Levine says that are awesome?
They can listen to the beginning of the episode.
Curse you, Eric. I want to hear it again. All right.
Candy cane. There. Happy?
That's good. That's good. I was just thinking about the. Is she the big fat person?
She a big fat person.
She a great big fat person.
Okay. Anyway. Mike, what are your final thoughts?
I like the film. I don't know that I'm going to watch it again. But I do think it was well done. Like I said, I like the way they managed to splice some of the scenes together between the past and the present. And they were able to build some tension, suspense, even though we kind of sort of know the way stories like this go. I will also say it didn't end necessarily the way I expected it to. I was expecting maybe actually to go even darker than where it went. So,
all right, very good.
So I would definitely recommend it.
Sure. I thought it was a pretty solid film. It was definitely not what I was expecting. It's listed here as an independent gothic thriller, but for some reason I was going and thinking it was a ghost story or supernatural film, and so it was got something a little different than I expected. It was a pretty solid film. Rewatch value, not sure. So Eric and Mike may be right there, though. The acting was solid enough that just watching it for that is pretty cool. It was a good film and a surprise film that I would have never have heard of if it wasn't for you folks out there in Patreon land that recommended it to us. So thank you. Barrett?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the film. I thought the acting was top-notch and the filmography was really good. I don't know that I would watch it again just because once you've seen it, you've kind of got what the story is. And it's not one that I feel like I would watch again to see it again, but it is definitely worth watching once.
All right. Very good. So for folks who are curious, once again, this is a film that was created pretty much with funding from nice people. The film was a 2014 film, first time feature length film. Hunter Adams. He hasn't really done anything since, which is kind of surprising. Ted Levine is the only big name, though all the other actors and actresses involved seem pretty good, as Eric mentioned, Samantha Isler. Check it out right now if you have Shudder, because that's probably the only place you'll be able to check it out, because it ain't anywhere else. I guess with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Dig Two Graves. The kind patron who submitted this as a topic, if you're listening, please reach out to us. We'd like to know who you are since that data point has been lost to the sands of time. So come back next week. We will have another topic.
I am just a Cinderella looking for a handsome fella, hoping that someday by chance I'll find curly hair and eyes of blue, heart of gold and love that's true. He's the boy that I have on my mind.
America.